hearing no other check-ins at this time. We are going to turn this net back over to Dennis, KF7RYX. He's been doing the When the Lights Go Out series for us this month, and it has been very helpful and very informative. So, Dennis, KF7RYX, are you prepared to accept the net? This is KI7CPW.
Yeah, greetings. This is KF7RYX Dennis, and I am now assuming net control. So we will just take it from there. John, you are released for right now, and I will turn it back over to you when we are done. And if you could act as alternate net in the interim, and I will be monitoring the USARI 1 repeater. So in case this one does go out, and I don't realize it, if you would just come in on the U1 repeater and let me know, I would appreciate it. All right, any questions, John, before I continue?
No, sir, no questions. I am assuming the tactical of alternate net control, and we'll keep it keep things open here. KI7PPW.
Okay, thank you very much. This is KF7RYX. For the last couple of weeks, we've been going on the scenario of when the lights go out. And just a very brief recap on things of what we did last week. We started talking about, you know, your mental attitude and what you needed to do there, your mental preparedness, your physical preparedness, your equipment, going through all of those sorts of things. And we ended up with a short little exercise about having people give us a report on certain information and the way it was presented and everything. Okay, so we have determined that we've got a fairly widespread power outage that we're dealing with. We still don't know the full extent of it. We don't know how long it's going to last, so we're still gathering information. And now we have, like we said, we've done an assessment of our equipment. We're good to go. Our family is taken care of. Our home and everything else is secure. So we're ready to start playing radio here, so to speak. So what I would like to do now is ask the question, in an emergency situation like we're talking about, the power is out, other forms of communication seem to be down, your radio is still working fine, and maybe a few of the repeaters are still operating just fine as well. So you get on the radio, and who is net control? You're sitting there, the radio's quiet, you throw your call sign out. So who should act as the net control for this time period? So I'd like to get your responses on this, like we've done in the last 2 weeks. I'd like this to be an exchange of information and not just a lecture. So your thoughts and ideas, who should be the net control and why? Please call. Okay, so let me give you a hint then. Whoever is the first one on the radio, guess what? You are the net control. So let's say you are it. We're going to take that role for this evening's discussion, and you are the first one on the radio, and you throw out your call sign, and you say, this is KF7RYX Dennis, is anybody else out there? And then you finally get, you know, well, this is KI7PPW, John, I'm here. And so you start going from there. So what are some of the things as the net control that you should be prepared for, and what should you do? I mean, you are the net control station at this point in time. You're the first one on, so whoever is first, guess what? You are the net control station. So what do you do as the net control at this point in time? And I'll say that this is an informal net that we're on in this emergency at this point in time. So what do you do? What should you be thinking about, and where do you go? So please call with your thoughts and ideas on this.
KK7GSS.
KK7GSS. Dave, go ahead.
Well, I know you hate playing solo, so I'm going to play along with you. All right. So as net control, kind of a in an ad hoc situation where you're not expecting to be net control, some of the things you're going to want to be thinking about is obviously having a piece of paper and a pencil, writing down call signs, taking critical information from anyone that checks in, whether they need assistance, what kind of assistance they need, where they're located, their name, and potentially contact information. KK7GSS.
Okay, very good. Those are some of exactly the things that you'd be looking at. One, hopefully you have organized yourself a little bit, and like you said, you've got yourself some paper, something to write on, something to write with. You know, you got yourself a bottle of water or a glass of water or whatever it might be, because you just don't know. And yes, you're going to start asking a few questions, as you said, about information from people, who all's on there. You start throwing your call sign out, and you start asking, who is on here? I remember sitting at home one evening not that long ago. The lights went out, and I'm thinking, well, maybe this is a scenario that I've talked about on the radio. And so I had my HT beside me, and I threw my call sign out, and I got W7DKU. And it was a gentleman down in Gilbert that I know, and he said, well, I'm sitting here in the dark like you, and it's good to hear your voice. So anyway, we started talking a little bit. But if that scenario, which didn't last that long, well, it went several hours, but anyway, it was over with. But what are some of the specifics that you're going to want to find out from people that are there? Not only just who's there, but what are some of the specifics that you're going to be asking about people coming on? So let's get your thoughts and ideas on that as a net control station.
N7DRK.
N7DRK, David, go ahead.
Well, Dennis, as you know, I've already been kind of training in this area a little bit. And I know that some of the questions I'm going to want to know is who, what, where. I'm going to want to know where they at, where they're at, and, you know, what's going on in that area. What kind of information do they have that they can tell me or relay to me so I can provide that to anybody else who's listening. I'm also going to want to know if they're operating on backup power, or what kind of backup power they're operating on, and how long they can operate. And then I'm going to want to know if they can meet me in the future on the airwaves at some point to report back. I'm going to want to know, just what they're observing in general as far as what's going on in their area. And I'm going to want to know if there's any threats that they can identify that they need to tell me about, so I can kind of gauge, you know, for my own safety and security if that's a potential threat to me. So I'm just going to leave it at that for right now, and I'll send it back to you and see if that answers your question. N7DRK.
Okay, David, it did an excellent job of answering many of the things that I think would be very important. And you said the who, the where, and the type of equipment they're using, what capabilities they have, and what are they observing. So these are all important things that we need to be thinking about in the very early stages. Like we said, we're still gathering information. We've determined by, you know, what we've been able to research so far, getting on broadcast radio, getting on the NOAA stations, maybe talking with a couple of others, you know, as we said, driving out around the neighborhood. If you're on a high elevation point looking out over the valley, seeing if there are other lights that are on and, you know, how isolated it is. And so you're getting more information. And so, yes, I agree with you 100%. You want to find out who's there and what they're observing, what kind of equipment they have, that sort of thing, how long they would be able to stay on the air and operate. It makes a big difference. If you've got someone that's got, you know, either a generator or a large battery bank, and you know that they're going to be there for hours, and they've got backup systems and whatever, that's all great, and that's good to know information. And so you're writing these things down, and you're, I guess, putting together an information block. And so why would you need to be doing this? Remember, we are communicators. We're not the incident commander. So if you've gone through any of the ICS courses, the FEMA courses, ICS 100, 200, 400, 700, or 700, 800, if you've gone through any of those, you understand that we are communicators. So why are we gathering all this information then? So please call with your thoughts and ideas.
KI-7-DPW.
John, go ahead.
Well, as you stated, we're the net control at this point in time, and we're our purpose is to communicate information. And so this kind of information that we're asking about, that's the kind of information that the incident commander is absolutely going to need to know if this develops into a deeper problem. That's the kind of information that the incident commander has to know so that he can develop the team to go out and work this incident. KI-7-PPW.
Okay, very good. That's exactly it. KF7RYX at control. So yeah, you're gathering information so that whenever we get to the point that there's going to be two scenarios that you would be following here. One, you have a plan. There is a plan that is in place and you're following it, and we haven't gotten to the point of activating the net and activating the emergency response plan. We're still in that informal net situation and nothing has been activated. But yet there is a plan, you're familiar with it, you know how it works, and you know who has the authority to activate that thing. But you're just at the informal stage, so we got to make sure we keep that in our mind. And then there, a second scenario would be that there is no plan. You have no plan, and you're just on the net, and you're gathering information. And so there may be someone that comes on later that is connected with a group organization or something that has a plan and are going to be activating, and you would be able to assist in that. So either way, at this point in stage, it's going to be pretty much the same thing that we're going forward with. All right, so you're going to be gathering some information, and I'm going to pick back up where I left off last week when I asked a number of individuals. We had three of them there, and I said, I'd like you to give me your first name, your cross streets, the city, what type of radio station you're using, your transmit power, your year's license, and conclude with your FCC call sign. And to put it quite succinctly, you know, no one did it perfect. They all did it good, but no one did it perfect. And so by asking certain information, and we've already talked about that, so you're saying, well, I need to know where you are, what kind of equipment you've got, all these other things like that. If a person is not giving you the information you're asking for, or if a person is giving you a lot more information than you're asking for, as a net control operator, what can you learn from that? So I'd like to hear your response or your thoughts on that, so please call.
November 7, Mike Juliet Foxtrot.
All right, Mike, I believe that's you. November 7, Mike Juliet Foxtrot. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, one thing that came to mind as you were describing that, you know, if somebody's responding back with a long-winded question that was well beyond the information that you asked for, is that's kind of going to give you a clue as to whether or not who can follow directions. So that's my response. N7MJF, back to net control.
Okay, you're absolutely correct, and that's exactly the answer I was looking for. You're trying to figure out, as a net control operator, you're taking notes, and you might even have gotten to the point of asking for a little assistance here, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But yes, you ask for specific information, and you say, this is the order I'd like you to give it to me in, And if a person is incapable of doing that, that tells you a couple of things. One, either they're going to be way too verbose, talk way too much in a situation when in an emergency, as we talked about last week, brevity, accuracy and brevity, those are very, very important things to do. And if a person cannot follow those instructions, well, it's going to give you a lot of information about where could they be used, how could they be used, and that sort of thing. So, yes, you're going to learn a lot just from asking the questions and how they respond. You're going to be able to know whether this person has participated in events before, they have some experience with it, they know what they're doing, and they know how to follow instructions. If you've got an individual, well-meaning, and whatever, and they're trying their best and whatever to do it, but they're not following instructions, you don't really have the time, usually, to start a training session with them. There's just not enough time to do that. There's more important things you've got to do, and so that's why it's important that we do participate in events like the Queen Creek events that we have, you know, the Spring into Queen Creek, the Holiday Festival, there are a number of them, the Trunk Retreat that we have. So those are things that where you learn how to do these exact things and give exactly the information that is needed and show that you've learned this, and so it'll be very beneficial. All right, so we're continuing on doing that. We're gathering information. And so where do we go from there? You're putting this information together. What are some of the things that you should be thinking about? Let's say you've got 5 or 6 or 10 or whatever it is, people that have now checked into your net. What are some of the things that you should be thinking about as the net control operator of maybe getting some assistance or making assignments or whatever? What would you do? Let me have your thoughts and ideas.
N7DRK.
N7DRK, David.
So, kind of ran into this today, actually, during the net that we had on HF. There were stations that were difficult to hear, and there were stations that had a very clear signal. So, you know, if you're running a simplex net during an emergency and there's stations or operators out there who are operating that you're either you can't hear or you're not aware of that somebody else is hearing, you're going to want to have somebody relay that traffic. So you're going to need to assign a role either as an alternate net control or possibly as a relay in an area. You're going to have to figure out who can hear who, and then you're going to need to assign those roles accordingly. So with that, I'll return it to you in 7DRK.
Thank you, David. You make some very good points on that. So yes, in the preliminary information you've been gathering, and one of those was where are the individuals, what type of equipment they're having. So if you've got someone that's somewhat centrally located or whatever, and you know, whether it's an HF situation or whether it's a just UHF, VHF, simplex or whatever that you may be doing, yes, you would definitely want to maybe have someone pick up and relay on that, and so you'd be giving instructions. You know, if net control does not hear a station and you do, then you would give them instructions on how to do that. And usually you're just going to say, please use the words relay, and net control will recognize you, and then the relaying station would then say, okay, I heard this individual, and here's the information that they got and wanted to transmit or whatever. So yes, having the information out about people relaying in and not being afraid to do so, that's very valuable. All right. What are some of the other things that you would want to do and instructions that you would want to make at this stage of the game? And we're assuming we're still on a repeater. Let's say we're on a repeater. So what are some instructions and things that you would like to be doing and maybe other assignments you would like to make? Please call now with your FCC call sign.
KI-7-BPW.
Yes, John.
Well, I think that one of the assignments in particular that you're going to want to do is have someone, give someone the assignment of going out and actually monitoring some of the other news gathering and whatnot. Find out, are the television stations working? Are the radio stations working? What other kind of information is out there in the public communication? And have them gather that information so that they can bring it back to you and let you know who's out there and what else is being reported. There's probably a whole lot more, but I know that I would want to know that part. KI-7-BPW.
Okay, John, yeah, you're exactly right. That would be something that I would probably do is say, one, I need someone to go monitor some of the broadcast stations, whether if TV stations are still on, radio stations are still available, the weather station, the NOAA station that might be having emergency information that would be being broadcast. You're going to be busy with net control duties, and so you're not going to have the ability to do that, or at least I wouldn't, being able to listen to two or three different sources of information as well as running a net. So yes, that would be something that I want to do. David in 7DRK has the HF net, and they're mainly doing the NVIS, near vertical incident skywave type of communication. And so that may be some, if you've got someone that does that or you're familiar with it, they do it. So David in 7DRK, I'm going to pick on you just a little bit. How could the NVIS assist in this situation on information gathering, and how would it work? And maybe for those that aren't familiar, just explain in 30 seconds or more or less how near vertical incident skywave works and how that would benefit in this situation. So N7DRK, David, if you would.
Well, it's my pleasure. So NVIS is near vertical incident skywave, essentially and practically lowering your antenna closer to the ground affects the takeoff angle of the radio wave. It sends it straight up into what would seemingly be an omnidirectional, or it would turn your antenna into an omnidirectional antenna, essentially. I don't know if that's really the correct way to explain it, but that's basically what happens, is you're going to send that signal straight up, and it's going to become an omnidirectional signal, and it's going to limit the range of your signal. So it's not going to, skip around the world. It's on 40 meter at least. During the daytime hours, you're going to limit the range of your radio signal to a few hundred miles. And we've had check-ins as south as, I want to say, Tucson area, Sierra Vista even, all the way up to Strawberry and Sholo area, all the way up north. So we've had quite the range of check-ins. We've even had one from Nevada, I think, if Dave, KK7GSS, could confirm that. But this mode of communications, or this particular antenna configuration, or array, it's the way you set up your antennas, and it's easier to use a wire antenna. For this, vertical antennas don't really give you NVIS, so if you have a dipole or an NFED, that's going to really work the best. And if you lower it closer to the ground, it will limit the range, and you will be able to talk to other hams around the state and gather information about what's going on in their area. You'll be able to ask them, hey, is the power out in your city, several hundred miles away? Down in Tucson or up in Flagstaff, you'll be able to ask them these questions. You can also do this on 80 meter at night, okay? And if it's suitable, if the band conditions are suitable, you may be able to do this at night on 80 meters and get the same kind of information from operators at night. I hope I didn't muddy the water too much there, Dennis, so I'll send it back to you if you got any questions for me. N7DRK.
Okay, David, you did a great job there. So, yeah, basically you're changing the configuration of your antenna so that your signal is going straight up rather than out at an angle. And so it goes straight up, comes back down, it covers an area of a few hundred miles, and just depending on the conditions and whatever, you know, you can usually get very reliable communications over an area of a few hundred miles around you. And so that would give you the ability of our immediate area of a few hundred miles of getting some valuable information. So yes. Appreciate that, and very good. All right, so what other types of assignments would we be making as a net control on here? So give me your thoughts and ideas on it. Please call. Is it going to be easy as a net control operator to be taking the calls, gathering the information, writing it all down, and doing all of this by yourself? Or would maybe some assistance be nice to have? So give me your thoughts.
N7TRK, and by the way, I think you doubled with KI7PCW.
Okay, thank you, David. John, if I doubled with you, please call.
Yeah, not a problem. I'm good at doubling with people. that would probably be one of the primary assignments as well, and I'm sorry I missed that one. But yeah, you're going to want to have a net scribe, somebody who can more or less just sit there and monitor what's going on that net and keep notes and copies of what's going on, keep track of who else is being assigned to what tasks and what kind of information is coming in. KI7PCW.
Okay, very good. Yes, absolutely. You're going to want to have someone to assist you in writing all of this down. For any of us that have participated as a net control for a event, public service event, it can become very fast-paced and it can be noisy. The environment you're in could be very noisy. And so having a second set of ears there and someone to start writing all these things down while you're gathering the other information is going to be extremely helpful. So yes, having someone become a scribe, whether they are right there in the room with you or whether they're at some other location, as long as you've got a scribe that can write things down and record all of that for you, it's going to be valuable. So you need to be establishing a record, a good log of these things. And whether you're using a sheet of paper or whether you're using, an ICS form for that, your logs, I think those are 214. But anyway, whether you're using those or whatever you're doing, you're going to want to be able to establish this and have a record of it. Okay, so
AI7DUH.
Beginning of this net, and before we even started the net this afternoon or this evening, John was making some information out here. So how would something like this, if you're operating on a repeater, what was John telling us and establishing for those of you that were listening in early, what was the warning and the information that he gave us, and how could that be applied in our scenario that we're working under? Please call.
Alternate net control.
Alternate net, go ahead.
KI7DUH tried to break in on one of your transmissions there, so I don't know what he's got. KI7DUH, this is KI7DUW.
Okay, thank you. David, KI7DUH, go ahead.
Sorry about that, I thought you were because of the situation. I can't leave home. I served as a scribe for, we've had this last year, and because I was doing that, I had the whole picture and was able to provide feedback. And so we've got to remember, even in a scenario such as this, you want to say what went right and what didn't went right, so the next time you can make the corrections. KI-7, DUH back.
Okay, very good. Appreciate that. Good information to have. And so, yes, David, we want to be able to record everything, and after we get through whatever the event is, be able to go back and, as you said, have our after-action report and establish, you know, what did we do right, what did we do wrong, and how can we improve if we have to do this again. Yes, but now let's go back to the question I had asked a little bit before we got to David there. What was it that John KI7PPW was announcing as a instructions in case we had a problem? So please call with your thoughts and ideas and why we need to do that.
KC7QPI to that.
Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, he was reporting that we would be transferring to the Usery Pass 1 repeater at 447.650, negative shift, 186.2, and that would be our alternate communication source. KC7QPI, back to net.
Okay, Jim, you're exactly right. That's what John was doing, because the power supply on this repeater has been giving problems, and that's why you hear if it sits for a few minutes or almost a minute, then when we kick it back up again, you hear the buzz, and then it seems to even out again. But it's a symptom that, yes, the repeater power supply is having problems, and it could go out. And so if you're utilizing a repeater during an emergency, unless you are absolutely certain that repeater is not going to fail, which we cannot say with certainty that they're never going to fail, you want to establish the parameters. You know, if we do have a repeater failure, this is where we're going to go, whether it's a simplex frequency or what have you. So you would need to go ahead and establish up front what is going on under the circumstances, and if we need to switch over, you could do that. So, establishing the protocols for repeater failure or problem, all right? So, all good information there. So, what else are some of the things that you would probably like to do? And let's say that things are getting pretty busy on the net. You've got people checking in, you've got all kinds of things going on. So what are some of the other things that you could be doing to make things flow a little more smoothly? So give me your thoughts and ideas.
KC7QPI, back to net.
Okay, Jim, KC7QPI, go ahead.
You know, we mentioned the incident command person. The net control officer and everyone on the net need to be aware of who it will be and when they will come online, and then that person takes the net control. Is that correct? The other question or comment I have to make was, if somebody is talking to you on the radio and they want to know how many bottles of water you have, they're probably asking the wrong questions, and you probably should not be giving them that personal information. KC7QPI, back to net.
Okay, Jim, good information, but you've gotten way ahead of us on there, and that'll probably be coming in next week. So there are some other things that we can do, and let me just kind of throw out a few ideas here because our time is starting to run out. Let's say that things are getting busy and, you know, more and more people are coming on the radio and are checking in and whatever, you might get yourself an alternate net control and give them an assignment to say, I need you to go over to another frequency and handle a certain amount of traffic or certain things or whatever. So you could do that sort of thing. You know, maybe once you've got someone checked in, have them go over and start gathering specific information that might be useful down the road. I remember working in McQueen Creek, one of the public events that we had down there. We had the buses that were checking in when they were arriving and leaving, and
additional information of the number of people with strollers, and if there were special circumstances where individuals needed assistance or whatever. It was a lot of traffic in addition to everything else that I was required to handle as the net control station. So I assigned an alternate net, and you can have more than one alternate net control. So I assigned someone to take over and handle just the bus traffic that was coming in and out and deal with that. And so I had them go onto a separate frequency and handle that. So that's something you might consider to maximize your abilities and, you know, shuttle some of it off over to another frequency and handle it over there. All right? So what are some other thoughts or ideas that you might have that would maybe assist you in this situation? Please call. This is KF7RYX. Okay, I heard alternate net control, and we had a double in there, but alternate net, go ahead first.
Thank you, Dennis. I am perceiving some pretty heavy repeater retransmission buzzing. Are you hearing that as well?
Yes, I am hearing it. I don't know. I'm hearing you just fine through it. I don't know if you're still able to hear me with only 5 minutes left. If we can, if it's not too bad, let's just stay here. I'll get your feedback on that.
That works for me. I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't an issue here. And yes, with only about 5 minutes left, we'd be fine, I think. KI7PPW.
KK7GSS.
AK7GSS, go ahead.
Yeah, on the subject that you were talking about, assigning net controls, I was just thinking that if you're on one of the only repeaters in the area that's working, and you're able to find operators in Santan, I mean Green Creek, in Chandler, and Gilbert, in Mesa, you might start asking individuals to set up their own nets on simplex frequencies with simplex operations in their own geographic area to take some of the traffic off the repeater. KK7GSS.
Okay, Dave, very good. That's an excellent thought and idea. And that kind of goes back to something that I mentioned very early on, was whether or not you're working with a plan that is in place or not. If there is no plan, then yes, you might say, well, you know, I don't believe that someone in Glendale is going to be able to help me here in Mesa with, you know, going out with boots on the ground type situation. I might get good information from them, but yes, they may not be to assist in this immediate area if there is a plan and we're working with individuals within a prescribed area. So yes, having other individuals jump in and take over and do net control in their areas is a very good idea. Also, you said that something very valuable as well, repeaters might start becoming very scarce. In an emergency, there may not be a lot of repeaters that will continue to operate if the power goes out. So that's something that would be very good information to have beforehand, and especially if, like on this repeater, most likely in an emergency, it's going to go down. I talked with the owners, operators of the repeater, and it was pretty clear from their perspective, it's unlikely that this one is going to continue in a power out situation. That would be something that could be addressed and looked at, maybe trying to remedy that with a few hours of backup power or whatever. But there are only just a couple of repeaters around the Phoenix metro area that have sustained backup capabilities. And so knowing those would be helpful, and also establishing some simplex frequencies and being familiar with that. And having people localize, you know, someone like you said in AJ, Santan, Queen Creek, and whatever, using simplex to gather information and do that. right, our time is pretty much up, so anybody with any final thoughts or ideas, and we'll pick up next week, but your thoughts or ideas, please call now. Okay, hearing nothing, this is KF7RYX, your net control station, and KI7PPW. I will now return net control back to you. If you are ready to take over, please acknowledge.
This is KI7PPW, and yes, I'm ready to take the net, Dennis. Please close with your call sign.
Thank you very much, KF7RYX.